Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to America Matters Radio with Brian Hirsch and Bill Elmore. I'm your host, Brian Hirsch, and I'd like to welcome my co-host, Mr. Bill Elmore.
Welcome,
first
Bill.
Time you didn't call me the fixer. Really excited to talk to Trent tonight.
We have a very special guest tonight. He is fighting in Colorado to replace Rhino. This is Trent. Welcome, Trent. How are you doing this evening?
Cold. It better have snow. But it's but no, it's going great today. How about you guys?
It's a little cold out here, but it's Iowa.
It's cold here.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Oh, I bet it is.
Still going to get out and caucus for Trump in January, though. I don't care how cold it is.
Yeah, we need him back in the White House.
Well, we have people like you to help us do that.
Yeah, you know, I'm looking forward to being there and being a soldier in his army, fighting for the America First values and the America First agenda. And, you know, because, look, Trump's going to help save this country again, and he needs representatives in Congress that are not going to fight him. I mean, look at what he went through the first – I mean, look at what he went through all 4 years he was there. I mean, he was under attack before he got there. He was under attack while he's there, and now he's still under attack even not being there. So even though he is our rightful president, and Biden was just installed in the White House.
Cheap toilet comes to mind.
Pretty much. He's, boys, I didn't think he could destroy it this quick and this fast. So our country's hurting.
You know, I had no doubt in that capability in him anyway.
Yes. Yeah, so, I appreciate you having me on. I'll talk a little bit about my campaign again for those who are new listeners to your platform. So my name's Trent Lysak. Yeah, I'm running for Congressional District 4 out here in Colorado. It's the most conservative district in the state, currently held by the Rhino Ken Buck, who is an avid supporter of Liz Cheney, who believes all January 6th folks should be prosecuted and in jail. He believes that Trump's an existential threat to America, and he voted against Trump's border wall, and the list goes on. And so, you know, that's why I entered the race, was because I didn't feel like Ken Buck was representing me and representing my family and representing the constituents here in Colorado. And the fact that he shifted from Colorado to CNN and MSNBC, and that's who his constituents ended up being and still are to this day. And so, you know, this district is thriving for America First. It's a very Trumpy, very MAGA, very conservative district. It's a very safe district. And so that's why we entered the race before he decided to drop out of the race. And my campaign put a lot of pressure on him, which ultimately is what pushed him out of the race. And obviously there's been multiple people join the race since then, but they're not America First. They're not MAGA. They don't support Trump. They don't believe that the election was rigged in 2020. And they think that, you know, they don't want to talk about COVID and what happened there. So, you know, this district is thriving for good representation. I've been throughout the district. I've talked to people all throughout the district and, you know, and sharing their concerns. And their biggest number one concern that they have is the border. And that, you know, Colorado is the hub for this mass illegal invasion onto our country, because they come through Denver, whether it's on buses or it's through the airport, but that's where they come, and then they disperse from there. And so, you know,
because I am Northwest Iowa here, which isn't very far from.
Yeah.
They come straight up through the Midwest, right through those Midwest states.
Yes, they do.
And out
yes,
everywhere.
They do. Yeah, you know, every town, every state, every city, it's a border, city, town, and state. It doesn't matter where you're at in the United States, because, you know, it's coming to every community, every city, every neighborhood near you. And, you know, it's bringing in, you know, drugs, it's bringing in crime, and, you know, we have to, you know, secure the border. And I want to be a part of, you know, shutting the border down from day one. It needs to be shut down. You know, we need to stop any legal immigration to the United States. We need to put a halt on visas. We need to let ICE do its job and round up all the illegals that came in here that we can find. We need to stop providing federal funds to cities who won't cooperate with the federal government on removing illegals. We need to, you know, help states with, putting their National Guard on the border, working with Mexico to, you know, implement the Remain in Mexico policy again, and the, you know, and big key to this as well is designating drug cartels as terror organizations, because that's what they are.
Oh, and then I think agree 100%.
Yeah, and I think the worst component out of all of this is the human trafficking side of things, and all the, you know, Biden administration will say that there's 85,000 illegals, children that have gone missing at the border. Well, that's not true. I've talked to Border Patrol agents who said, no, it's more like 450,000. And so
worldwide, I believe they said it was a $6 billion a year industry.
It's huge. It's huge worldwide. And, you know, we're complacent because we're part of the problem. You look at Hollywood, you look at the
100%.
Deep swamp.
Guys like Harvey Weinstein.
Mm-hmm.
Jeffrey,
I mean, look
Epstein.
At the, yeah, I mean, they need to release Jeffrey. I mean, that's something I'm going to advocate for is releasing his list. And, you know, we've got to go after these people. I don't care if it's Bill Clinton, if it's Bill Gates, if it's whoever it is. You know, they need to be held responsible.
I'm mind to believe that there's more higher ups than just in our government. That's why it's not coming out.
I mean, you're talking about leaders in other countries.
World
you're talking
leaders.
About in. Yes, you're talking about these fake NGOs that act like they're saving the children when they're not. You
that
look
is
at
a very
the CPS
deep
organization. Yeah, you look at the CPS or CPS throughout the country. That's what it's designed to do is, you know, take children from their parents and traffic them. And so, you know, that is the top thing that comes to mind when people I talk to here talk about, you know, is the border, the crime, the drugs. I mean, it's like Colorado's number two for fentanyl deaths across the nation. We're number one in multiple different areas of crime because of illegal immigration.
Two things about the southern border that worry me. I watched your video, but I know it still doesn't compare to actually being there and seeing it firsthand. What can you tell us that you saw firsthand?
What I saw firsthand that blew my mind was our reaction in terms of, you know, Border Patrol sitting there saying, hey, turn around, go back, turn around. And they just kept walking through. And that's all they can do. That's all they can do. They
because this administration has their hands tied.
Yep. That, to me, I mean, obviously watching it firsthand, it was heartbreaking hearing the kids crying in the, you know, being held by their parents. You know, obviously, you know, the barbed wire doesn't, keep them and deter them from coming over. And
no.
I think what hit me was just watching our officials that are supposed to be keeping this country safe. Obviously, it's not their fault because they're being told what they can and can't do. But just watching them say, you know, hey, please turn around, don't come over, please turn around. And they just keep walking through. And they walk through and they walk through and walk through. And it was interesting because I was talking with one of the guys and he said, you know, 2 weeks prior, which I would have loved to have been there that day, but 2 weeks prior, he said there was 2,000 young men that came over in one day. And
wow.
He said a lot of them had tattoos all over their face. Well, what's that? That's MS-13. You know,
yeah.
Look
at
how many terrorists. Yeah, I mean, at a minimum. Look at the terror. I mean, there's terror cells throughout the United States.
That's the second thing I was going to mention that worries me about our open southern border. How many known terrorists came into this country already? But what gets me is unknowingly were dispersed across this country by governors on buses.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I keep looking for the 100% button because I've been on so many spaces this week. But it's interesting you mentioned two things, Trent. You know, the open border and the Epstein list. And you know, isn't it interesting that Durbin is, you know, one, he blocks the subpoena for the Epstein list, and then he proposes on the Senate floor to just accept all these illegals into the military. He's out
mm-hmm.
of his mind.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, of course, because look, they don't want to release the list because they're on the list. That's my theory. And I believe, I mean, come on, like when you are advocating, well, yeah, I mean, when you're advocating that you don't want it to be open public, it's like, well, it's because you don't want to be exposed. If you weren't on the list, then who cares?
As far as I'm concerned, you cannot cry innocent until proven guilty, because doing that makes you guilty.
Exactly. And so, you know, but then you look, the left hates this country. Okay, we have the number one, in my opinion, the number one domestic terrorist in this country is George Soros. He hates this country. That's why he funds organizations to attack this country. This is why he, you know, through funneling money through different organizations to make sure that we have very progressive DAs who will not prosecute violent felons, the no bail laws. I mean, he is destroying this country. And then you look at the left, because look, George Soros' son has been to the White House how many times? I mean, 50 times, I think, since Biden's been in. What's he doing there? Of course he's talking about the destruction of this country. And then you look at the open border situation, because they don't – look, the left hates this country. They do not love this country. They don't want open – they don't want borders. They want to – you know, they think they can say, we'll take care of you. Don't worry. They don't want the Constitution. They don't like having a constitutional republic where we have the best system of government we should on paper through the Constitution throughout the entire world. Obama went on an apology tour his first term in office, and the left hates this country, hates it. They're all about the destruction. So that's why they want them to vote. That's why they want to put them in the military, so that they can be controlled and that they still maintain their power by saying, okay, illegal, I want you to vote so that you can vote for me. And, you know, playing the whole race card. But look, if you look at all the other regimes and dictatorships throughout our history. What have they been successful at doing?
Disarming their population.
Yes. Disarming them, making them afraid so that they can come in and be the saviors and take over and say, I'll help you, I'll solve your problems.
Just to make you dependent on the government.
Mm-hmm. And it just blows my mind how people are just bought into that.
You just mentioned Soros' son. He just got out of a meeting with Zelensky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you look, my congressman, Ken Buck, you know, he is a huge advocate of Ukraine. I mean, he wants them to have, you know, I think he wants them to be the mini United States, I think, because he loves them and loves giving them money. And yeah, I mean, George Soros' son's out there, you know, trying to fulfill his legacy once he's gone. And the legacy is going to be is how do we destroy the United States? And that's what they're on. And in my opinion, you know, they need to be deemed as domestic terrorists and they need to be prosecuted because, look, they're trying to destroy this country. I mean, they look at what they put Trump through. Oh, he's trying to destroy this country.
Country has him labeled as a terrorist.
Yeah, and it's like, what has he done?
I'm half Hungarian, and I'm ashamed to say he's Hungarian.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Interesting. Yeah.
Everybody over there wants his head on a platter.
Yeah.
But the United States. Everybody but the U.S.
Yep. Yes. Yeah.
Oh,
absolutely.
And Ukraine, my bad.
Yeah. Ukraine. Yeah.
Well, okay. I'll apologize to our listeners. I won't say the U.S. because this illegitimate, illegal crime syndicate running our country right now is the one responsible, not the U.S.
Well, yeah. I mean, you look at him. You look at what the Obamas hate this country. You know, he wouldn't have gone on an apology tour.
Brian, we got some type of sound going on in the background there.
Oh, that was my pup.
Ah, okay. Well, mine's quiet.
That's my boy Sam.
Biden is propped up by his gatekeepers. You know, his gatekeepers are the Obamas. It's George Soros, it's
sure.
Bill Gates, it's all these people that hate this country, and they want a country, they want to remake this country into a very socialist, Marxist country. They think that they can run this government because look, they don't like people who love this country. They try to persecute.
The final step into doing that is taking away our First and Second Amendments.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what they try to do that every legislative session. You know, is
every legislative
to do
session, every time there's a shooting, every time somebody farts crosswise, they want to take the guns and the free speech away.
Mm-hmm. Because it's the law-abiding citizens that are the ones who are a danger to society, right? That's what they want you to believe, even though they don't want to acknowledge the fact that, you know, every year tens of thousands of, or I should just say thousands of African Americans are shot down in the streets by the hands of other African Americans in Chicago, and all with using illegal guns. Bought on the black market. They don't want to talk about that.
Trent, I have always had a question in the back of my head about those guns. I wonder how many of those serial numbers match the serial numbers of the guns that Eric Holder, Hillary Clinton, and Barack Obama sold to the drug cartels in the Fast and Furious deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What was it? I don't remember the name of the Border Patrol agent that got killed down there by one of those guns. But, yeah, That's a great point. I mean, because, oh, you know, I think those have ended back up here in the United States.
I'm sure they have.
So, well, but then you look at, okay, so law enforcement confiscates, like who within our justice system is taking these guns that are confiscated, and how are they ending up back on the street?
You know, I think I just seen an article in American Military News the other day. There was an FBI agent busted for stealing weapons out of evidence.
Wow.
That seems like one way to do it.
Yeah, so Ken Buck years ago got fired by Attorney General Ashcroft for not prosecuting. He was a federal prosecutor at that time and in the early 2000s, and he got fired for not prosecuting a gun crime where, so some illegal guns had ended back up on the streets, and they were funneled through a gun shop, and Buck knew one of the gun shop owners and refused to bring charges, and so Ashcroft fired him over that. So, yeah, I mean, I think both sides are complacent to it.
I think there's a lot of agencies that need dismantling and restructuring.
Yeah, like ATF need to go away. The U.S. Marshal Service needs to go away. The CIA,
I don't know, like I said, I don't think they need to go away. I just think they need to be restructured from the ground up.
Look, I don't think that we personally need, you know, I just think we have too many agencies. You have the ATF, you have U.S. Marshal Service, you have the FBI, you know, then you have, you know, and so when you look at that, it's like, okay, well, I'm fine with dismantling the first two and revamping the FBI to make it so that it's not corrupt anymore, and I hope that Trump on day one, when he gets back into office, fires everybody he can and starts over and gets people in these positions that support him and support the Constitution and love this country and wants to, you know, bring down crime in this country. And so,
I agree with you there. And I'd add DHS and some other three-letter agencies to that.
Oh,
yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, you look at like, CPS, look, so yes, DHS, CPS, yeah. You know, look, you look at CIA needs to be revamped. I mean, we need to get rid of the FISA court. The Patriot Act needs to go away. Section 230 needs to go away with the censorship and giving these social media companies allowing them to not, you know, go, you know, allowing what's been, you know, allowing them to get by with censoring good conservative people, which it's a win today in America that Alex Jones is back on Twitter again. And so, there's just so much. And when I talk to people about our economy, you know, in my district, you know, because, yeah, everyday Americans are hurting, you know, and I tell them, I said, look, we need to cut as much federal funding as possible, whether it's to states, towns, cities, especially those that don't have the best interests of this country in mind. You look at all the billions and billions and billions of dollars that we give out for an aid every single year with no strings attached. That needs to go away. We need to pull out of NATO. We need to kick the United Nations out of the country and pull out of there.
To be honest, I think one of the biggest agencies that needs to leave is one that Jimmy Carter created, and that's the Board of Education.
Yes, I was just getting to that point with even the Department of Education needs to go away.
Mm-hmm.
And allow the states to do their job and to – you know, that, look, school districts should be autonomous from the state. They should be able to, they should be able to operate in a way that's best for their students. I mean, look, what we're doing isn't working. Our education system is a disaster. There's, you know, when a school district takes federal funding, they're required to do all this diversity, inclusion, whatever this D&I stuff, you know, this transgender stuff, this gay stuff. I mean, it's like, and what's sad is as a country, we can't even come together and say, as a country, look, our children are off limits. Whether that be human trafficking, whether that be through the indoctrination, the trans thing, like we can't even come together as a nation and say, leave our children alone. You know, and it just, it's sickening that, you know, we can't even agree on that the most vulnerable is our children, and the left know that, and both sides know that. The rhinos know that, the left knows that, and yet they're under attack every single day. So,
well, see, that's because the kids are their favorite target.
Mm-hmm. Because they know the kids can't do anything. They can't do anything. They can't fight back. You know, they're helpless. They really are.
No, if they do the perversion in a way that the kids won't really pay attention to it too much, package it like a reality TV show or a new singer or something like that, it won't make a difference.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. So, you know,
we have Taylor Swift. A young lady who has literally made billions off of her bad decisions and bad choices in men, and yet she's still voting for Joe Biden.
Yep. Yep. It just blows my mind, you know. And look, to me, Trump every year is the Time Person of the Year, so for her to be on that cover is just ridiculous. She shouldn't be, you know, she supports, look, anybody who supports this, what's going on now, anybody that supports, that tells me, well, I'm going to vote for Biden or the left because I just don't like Trump. It's like, well, then you hate this country. That to me, that's what it comes down to. If you are anti-Trump because you don't like something he said, then you hate this country. You know, the left has no good arguments when they can't argue policy because they know their policies are disastrous. So they just attack him based
consider
on
that policy.
They attack him on personality. They attack him. You know, look at what they're trying to do. They're making up all of these, you know, fake crimes in my book on trying to keep him off the ballot because they know he's going to win. They know that he's going to win. So the next thing is going to be.
You know what I found very funny? I found very funny that Mr. McCarthy said he is quitting Congress, but now he's going to support Trump. You think he knows something somebody doesn't?
That's a great question. That's a great thing because, see, there's a lot of people that are upset because, you know, they expelled George Santos. Oh, my gosh. George Santos. And now McCarthy's leaving. And it's like, did these, like, why are you doing this? Like, I understand, you know, you know, the whole George Santos thing, but it's like, look, he's voting the way we need him to vote. Why are you trying to? I get he lied. He made all that stuff up. I get that. But now is not the time to be doing this. Fight it at the ballot.
And all they
you
can
know,
do
at the,
is censor Jamal Warner.
Yes. But then you look at, yes, I know. Then you look at the squad who need to be expelled because they hate this country and they talk about it all the time, which I really don't understand how we can elect people who are, you know, pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas, who are...
My brother, I'm sorry. A lot of people may not like this, and I apologize for it. They are straight out terrorists.
They are. They are. And it's like, you swore. You didn't swore to support the Quran. You swore to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States that's based on Christianity and loving this country. And you are promoting and the destruction of this country, just like Mayorkas. Like, every one of those Republicans that voted not to hold him accountable, a guy who has had dereliction of duty since day one of entering that office. My congressman is one of those. Ken Buck was one of those who voted against impeaching him. Every one of those people should be gone. They should be gone, and they should be voted out, which I'll replace Ken Buck, and I know I will, and I hope people are seeing that the rhinos are a huge problem in this country. They perpetuate the hatred of this country, and they need to be gone. They need to be gone.
You know,
and so,
to me,
what,
yeah, I wouldn't put down a rhino like that. To me, those people are like, a liberal Democrat is like a king cobra. It'll stand up, it'll hiss at you, and it will let you know what it is. Those rhinos, those are snakes in the grass. You'll never know when they're going to bite.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, the whole Kevin McCarthy thing's interesting, but it's like, okay, now we're down two Republicans, you know, and I don't know if their replacement will be, you know, a Democrat or a Republican, but it's like, you know, it's like, come on, like, do you love this country? Are you going to do what's good for this country? And it's different if we had, like, a supermajority, but come on, we're just a few bodies shy of losing.
Yeah, we're real thin now.
Yeah, and it's like
we're running out of time.
I think we're like within one or two now, you know, with what happened to George Santos and then with McCarthy stepping down, and it's like, come on, like,
we're real thin and running out of time.
Yep. So yeah.
Unbelievable.
I mean,
but you know, it also gives me a thought that maybe just McCarthy said he's just going to endorse Trump just to try to hurt Trump's reputation.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I just don't understand why he had to abruptly do what he did, unless he's just got hurt feelings and wants to, you know, leave and hope that the Republican Party, you know, loses the majority in the House, and maybe that's what he wants. I don't know, but yeah, I mean, for him to turn around and endorse Trump and support him, and it's like, you never have before, so why are you doing it now? So, even though
that's,
Trump, you know, didn't
that's
support
a snake in the grass thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I get Trump did support him, and I think, you know, I think I understand why he did, but, you know, it's just like, I think that, you know, Trump's distanced himself from McCarthy, and now McCarthy's trying to bring some, you know, bring them back, you know, tied back together again. I don't think it's going to work. But
every time I hear him talk, it just seems like he's auditioning for Hollywood.
Yep. Yeah. Well, he's there. So
yeah, he is going back to Cali.
Yeah. Yeah. That's where he's from. So
that's one place I was always wanted to visit. That was Colorado.
You know, Colorado's a beautiful state. You know, you get on the Eastern Plains and it's flat as flat can be. You can't see, you know, you can't see a single mountain anywhere, and you get up to the Front Range and it's beautiful. The Rocky Mountains are gorgeous, especially this time of year with the snow caps on them. I'm not a skier, never skied, native of Colorado. I dislike the cold. I'd rather be in Florida, but, you know, I can deal with it. But it's interesting. I mean, Colorado's a beautiful state. There's so much history. There's so much.
I'm a conservationist, and I love the wilderness, and that's. Ever since I was a kid, I've watched Colorado on Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom with Marlon Perkins. I mean,
wow. Yeah.
Back in the day.
Yeah, I mean, I if you go down to the San Luis Valley, you go over to Mesa Verde, you go, you know, up to, you know, where the Dinosaur National Park is, and then everywhere in between. I mean, the mountains are beautiful. I love being in the mountains.
That's one thing that's always fascinated me about Colorado is all the different topographical areas.
Yes, yes.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I was at an event last week where climate change came up, right? Because all the big climate change people flew their personal jets into Dubai, I think it was, for their big climate change conference. All the chemtrails they put in the skies there. But you know, it's funny when I talk to people about climate change, especially here in Colorado. I'm like, you know, do you know at one point this was a very tropical area? The sand dunes down in around Alamosa prove that. You know, that was a beach at one point, you know, and then at another point in time, there was an ice age that affected Colorado. And so it's like climate change is natural. And so when these people, you know, want to destroy our economy because they believe that, you know, the United States is going to kill the planet for whatever reason.
When the climate change activists come at me like that, I explain it to them the only way that I know how. This planet has been changing for 4.5 billion years and will continue to change with or without human beings. You are too arrogant to think that in geological times, the length of time that we have been on this planet, and we have literally only been industrialized for, I'll give it, 400 years.
Mm-hmm.
Really industrialized for a little over 200.
Mm-hmm.
And to think that our time on this planet and doing that can change this planet that drastically, what do you think highly of themselves?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I don't understand why they don't focus their attention to India and China, who are the biggest polluters in the world.
Well,
so for whatever reason.
As well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, like, look, I tell people, I am all about doing what I need to do to keep things clean. You know, not littering, recycling, doing it. But I'm not just like, you know, that's to my extent, okay? And so, you know, but to outlaw, you know, gas-powered cars, and it's like, okay, but you're still going to get on your private jet and fly all over the place? Like, come on.
Yeah.
And so... You know, it's like that'll never go anywhere. I mean, yeah, I know Colorado's done that. California's done that in terms of, you know, passing legislation to ban, you know, I hate saying fossil fuels because it's not fossil fuel, but it's, you know, the gas-powered cars and equipment and machinery. And it's like, I don't know. For somebody who's never been out on a farm, you don't understand that you can't have electric tractors. Sorry, that's not how it works.
Well,
you know, we need food.
I know a lot of truck drivers. God bless every one of their souls for keeping this country running. My father was one for well over 50 years. Passed the 1,000,000-mile mark, I would imagine, twice. And if you would come to him and tell him he would have to drive an electric truck, oh, my God. I couldn't even imagine the response.
Yeah. Well, look, you look at back in December of late 2021 when there was all those cargo ships waiting out there. You know, there were like 120 at one given time, if not more.
Mm-hmm.
And And I was happened to be in California attending a friend of mine's son's graduation from the Marine boot camp. And, you know, I was talking with a guy there who runs one of the cranes, and he happened to be there because he had a family member graduating. And we just happened to connect because he saw I was wearing Trump stuff, and he came over, and because I always wear Trump stuff all the time. And we got talking, and he said, he goes, look, Trent, he says, what the reason why there's so many cargo ships out there is because we don't have drivers. Because California, you have to have, you know, your truck has to be at least 2013 or newer and has to have DEF and all this stuff. And he goes, there's too many regulations. So that's why there's, he says, well, yeah, there's, the country has enough drivers to solve this problem. It's just people don't want to come into California with all the tight regulations there are. And so when I saw Biden post on the White House, well, one of his handlers posted, but, you know, like, oh, 2 years ago at this time there were this many cargo ships and now there's only this many. And it's like, yeah, but you destroyed the trucking industry. You destroyed it. Trucking, when you attacked oil and gas, that was a huge attack on the truckers, because what they have to do, they had to raise their rates. Why? Because inflation, and then that's a trickle-down effect. And now nobody understands that.
Well, it's no different when he destroyed the jobs with COVID, now he's trying to claim that he's creating jobs? No, the people are just going back to work.
Exactly. It's just people going back to work. It's not that you haven't created nothing but a crisis. You created the destruction of this country. That's what you've done. You haven't put people back to work. And so, you know, we were having this discussion last week around, you know, obviously climate change and, you know, we need to get rid of coal and we need to get rid of oil and gas. And I'm like, you know, what people don't understand, this is how ignorant people are in terms of, they don't understand, like, they only want to believe the science, right? Remember how many times we've heard that, trust the science, trust the science. Well, you know what the science
says. Look where that got us.
Yeah, no kidding. Science says that oil and natural gas is a natural secretion of the earth. It's not dead dinosaur. It's a natural secretion. It will always be there, you know. And so, you know, and we produce and harvest this cleaner than we've ever done before. And our coal plants are cleaner than we have. And I told somebody, I said, look, if you want to get rid of coal plants, then put in nuclear power plants, because those are the most cleanest. That is the most cleanest power you'll ever have.
If you get people like we have in power now, you get a Fukushima or something worse.
Yeah. Said you got all these stupid wind turbines all over the place and the solar stuff and supposedly that's supposed to.
Oh, we have a bad problem with those here in Iowa.
Yeah, even here in northern Colorado, it just drives me nuts every time I see one, because it's like, you know, like CSU will, they, you know, the university here in Fort Collins, they'll talk about, oh, a third of our power is on wind turbines. And I'm like,
yeah,
okay,
but they don't
realize
how much hydraulic fluid and everything else it takes to run those.
Well, and that's what's fun. Like, this is where these people are so hypocritical. It's like, that thing has to turn. Turning causes friction. What do you think prevents that thing from starting on fire with the friction? Oil, grease, hello. You know, that's what you want to ban and outlaw? Like, come on. How many of them, you know, have we seen with oil dripping down, you know, the whole thing? And it's like, you
or
know, and then you get
fire.
Into these. Yeah, and then you get into these battery-powered cars, and it's like, don't you understand that the battery is not environmentally friendly? What are you going to do with it? You can't do anything with it. You can't recycle it. You know, it's the same thing with these.
I'm not driving a 4,000-pound dead battery.
Yeah, like, hello. What do you think? What are you going to do with these things? You can't just bury it. You can't burn it. Like, what are you going to do? You know, and so same thing with these wind turbines that they're, you know, when they replace them, it's like, you know, they're in Wyoming. There's a lot. They've gone up there and started burying them in the ground, you know, because they don't know what to do with them or how to process them. So this attack on this whole climate change thing is ridiculous.
What do you think about it, Bill?
Yeah, I think the one thing that stood out to me is when you're talking about how efficient we are with the oil here in America, right, and refining it. And then, so if you really care about the world, the planet, the climate, right, and your solution is to get rid of drilling and processing in America, and then you ship it to other countries that are not as efficient and are putting out more pollutants, and you're still using that oil, you're just now paying double the cost, right? And it's that, you know, breaks every one of us, right? Those costs when you talk about the shipping industry, right? Those costs get passed down to us, and then we see it every time we go to fill our tanks. It's just stupid. You know, if they really cared about it, they would not be doing what they're doing. They're doing it for a different reason.
Well, yeah, and if you look at, you know, I mean, obviously Biden, you know, depleted our reserves. I mean, under Trump, we were an exporter of oil. Now we're an importer of oil. And it's like, okay, well, we don't want to produce it here in the United States that's going to generate jobs. And you're doing it all on the back and on the whole save the world climate change thing. But where are you getting the oil? You're getting it from the Middle East. And they don't care about regulations there. They don't have regulations there. They don't produce it clean. And it's like, well, we'll just buy it from them. It's like,
right.
Well, you're
hypocritical. And when he gave it to the Chinese, he gave our surplus to the Chinese, right? And that's all part of his shady dealings with them over there. It's like, that's not what the surplus is for. That is for our emergency reserve, right?
Mm-hmm.
For us economically, for us getting into wars, you know, and
yeah,
to deplete that and then go try to start World War III across the globe, you know, it's just a suicide mission.
I don't
mm-hmm.
think he's trying to start
World War III.
I think he's succeeding.
Yeah, I was going to say, I tell everybody we are at World War III. I mean, look, we funded both sides of what's going on overseas. I mean, we've given money to Ukraine. We unfroze billions of dollars to Iran, which where did that money go into? Hamas, China, Russia, all countries that hate us. You know, we've given money to Israel. We give foreign aid throughout the entire world. We have an invasion at the southern border that's intentional. It's not a failure in policy. It's intentional. And to me, I look at that and I'm like, we're already at World War III. It's just a matter of when is one of these terror cells that's in the United States, because it will come from within our own country, when is one of those going to strike and where are they going to strike?
Yep. I used to think they're dumb. And I think I just said that in my last blurt, right? Now it's just become obvious that they are trying to destroy us, right? They are trying to make us vulnerable. And, you know, I personally, during 9/11, I was scheduled to be on flight 93, right? And I got a phone call from an employee the night before, midnight the night before, just saying that my travel plans wouldn't get me to the meeting on time. I had to fly into San Jose, right? But when they did the, you know, the study afterwards and they just looked at all the errors we had and how lax we were in security and everything, and, yeah, they took away freedoms because they took advantage of that to take away our freedoms, you know, for more security. And what do we get for that? We don't have any more security. They've destroyed our security. And we're so, I agree with you wholeheartedly, Trent. It could happen any day. We know they're already here. And all it takes is one or two of them, right?
Yep. Yeah, because, you know, we know they're here. I mean, the FBI will say, yeah, we know that they're here. It's like, okay, well, if you know they're here, then do something about it. Go get them. Like, how many times has something happened in our country and the FBI or somebody within law enforcement says, oh, well, yeah, we knew about this guy, but we didn't do anything about it. It's like, then do something about it.
Right. But they're too busy chasing, you know, grandmas who took a picture on January 6th, right? We've redirected our marshals, our air marshals, to no longer protect planes. They're now, you know, chasing, stalking January 6ers, right?
Did you see the video of that D.C. officer knocking that grandmother down the steps?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pardon my French, but that pissed me off.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, all the J6ers, they all need, look, all the nonviolent ones need to be out. You know, it's like, what about all the BLM, Antifa people that just got this, I mean, they burned down police stations. They threw Molotov cocktails all over the place. They you know, they tried to burn down that courthouse in Portland where Trump got so much flack for sending federal agents there to protect it. And
now they're all crying for funding to rebuild their cities.
Yeah, well, and they didn't do anything. They didn't prosecute anybody. But yeah, here are the J6ers. Yeah, I mean, then you got these J6ers who are either detained illegally and still haven't been to court, or they're being arrested. I mean, there was a couple arrested here a couple weeks ago in Colorado for just being there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they walked in the Capitol, but they didn't do anything. And yet we're trying to round them up.
Right. And there was the one guy who got arrested. It wasn't even in Washington, D.C., right? He just made a tweet, right? And the most ridiculous thing I've seen recently, somebody posted a comment with a meme on one of my posts, and they said, you know, don't complain about BLM and Antifa. You know, Trump was in charge then, and he didn't do anything to stop any of that. And I'm like, okay, educate yourself. He offered, and they rejected, you know, help. They did not want Trump to help them. Right? They wanted the chaos.
Yeah, I think after what? I think eventually, I think Minneapolis is going to take up some help or something, but I mean, it was too late by then. But, yeah, I mean, look, why are we not arresting Nancy Pelosi, who turned down the request for the National Guard? Why are we not arresting Bowser in Washington, D.C., who, you know, turned down Trump's request? I mean, you know, they go after Trump for inciting this violence, but he did everything he could to prevent the violence. And then now you got the FBI who's saying, oh, yeah, we've been infiltrated in these groups and we knew something was going to happen. But they didn't do anything. What about the Capitol Police who went and unlocked doors, unlocked windows, and just sat there and let these people walk through and didn't do anything about it? I mean, it was all intentional.
Yeah. It's worse than not doing anything, right? The FBI were in the groups, cheering them on, telling them to storm the Capitol. So they wanted that. It was all for show and Jake Chansley covers this, from the beginning to the end to now, of how that whole thing played out and what a psyop it was. And there is a space out there that was recorded. It would be great to listen to. I think I posted it. I can send it to you guys. But he's going to cover that on a show on January 1st. And it just blows your mind, you know, all they did to get the photo ops of, you know, by shooting, you know, smoke grenades and, you know, peppering before anything happened, right? They were just peaceful protesters beyond the gate, you know, standing there, and they shot to the back of the crowd, which forced them to run forward, right? And then they took all the photos and videos of the smoke and the charging, you know, J6ers, and it was all for show.
Well, and if you haven't watched Police State by that Dinesh D'Souza did and Dan Bongino did, you got to watch it, because in that movie they cover the J6 issue and how that was a complete deep state police state issue that went on. Because if you look, and this is what I didn't know, and so I learned a lot watching that video, which was, you know, that was an intentional setup to make sure that the election got certified, because there were enough votes to send the states in question back to the states to take care of. But when that January 6th thing happened, it startled these legislatures, and they said, oh, well, you know what, we don't want – If we don't certify this, then there's going to be this uproar and there's going to be all this violence, so we'll just go ahead and certify it. That was a really interesting take on the whole J6 thing and how that was intentionally designed to make sure that there was enough fear created amongst the legislatures that they went ahead and certified the election.
Yep, I watched it live, right? And Dinesh and I follow each other, and anytime he puts anything out, I blast it out to everybody. But
I have a question for you, Trent. Now,
what's
correct
that?
Me if I'm wrong. I have a question for you. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but the building about the January 6th incident happened at is the same building that the young man tried to pull the alarm at, the young congressman.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah, and what happened to him?
Now, here's my question. Did he not say he was looking for the lever to open the door?
Yep. When he knew that was BS.
Uh-huh.
But what happened to him? Nothing happened to him.
He got censured.
So, oh, he did get censured. Okay, you're right. That's right. That's right.
But he should be in jail.
I'm sorry, but to me, that's pretty much worthless.
Yeah.
Being said.
Yeah.
All it is a public condemnation.
Yep.
What good does that do?
Does absolutely nothing, but then you look at George Santos, who they've expelled, and... You know, but yet, look at
that's
all
results.
The other destructive. Yeah. You know, and then you look at the squad who actively promotes violence and hatred in the United States, and they get to go to their comfy offices every day.
Yeah.
Someone
was saying the other night, they were just going through every place that, you know, they're talking about post, you know, war with Hamas and, you know, what to do with Palestinians. And they're saying every state that's ever taken in the Palestinians, you know, they hated the country. They caused problems. They got kicked out. All right. And I'm not going to dive deep on that topic. That just brought me to, you know, we have a Palestinian in Congress, right, who flies the Palestinian flag outside her office. And everything she says shows she hates this country and wants the destruction of Israel. But, you know, we censor her, but she still got her position.
Yes. Yep.
I don't understand why they're allowed to still be in Congress.
That's a great – that's great. That is absolutely – correct. I mean, I'm sorry, but I don't think, well, I guess I shouldn't be sorry, but I don't think anybody who swears their allegiance to a different country should be a representative sitting in our government.
And yet,
I don't think that's what our forefathers had in mind.
No. And
nope.
The Republicans didn't have the will to expel her, but they pulled together the will to expel Santos for you know, forget what he did. He's not been found guilty of anything. The Democrat who pulled the alarm was found guilty. You know, she is guilty, but they couldn't find the will to expel her, but, you know, they went after Santos.
Well, again, that two-tier justice system.
It's what we have in this country. Yep. Well, I always say Democrats or Republicans are worse than Democrats all day long. So
they can be.
There are no hidden Democrats that are Republicans, but there are plenty of hidden Republicans who are Democrats.
Yep, that's right.
Wolves in sheep's clothing.
Yes, they are. So, yeah.
Well, we are going to throw the phone number out there tonight. If you would like to call in and talk to Trent, our phone number is 319-527-6092. And if you want to chat, just press 1. And we are brought to you tonight by our infinite source, Angel Miss Eva. Thank you so much for giving us our voice. Infinite Source Broadcasting. Fantastic group of people. Back to our regularly scheduled program.
Yeah, so what questions do you guys have? You guys are amazing patriots. I love to be on your show.
Any advice on caucusing for the president? I'm still nervous about that.
That, you know, that's for, I you know, you sent me the picture the other day. That's amazing. You know, I think it's just, look, I think Iowa's very Trumpy. It's going to go for Trump. I would just say, you know, get as many Trump-loving, supporting people to your caucus as possible. So I don't know exactly how you guys do it in Iowa versus how we do it here. I know that here we can't, when you go to caucus or like if you going to caucus, you can be, you know, support whoever you want. But if you're going to be like a PCP here, they don't allow you to be supporting one candidate over another as a PCP. So, but
well, right now the only reason I'm doing it is I'm straight out caucusing for President Trump here in Iowa.
Yes, yeah.
So,
that's great. Get as many people as you can that support and love Trump, and you know we gotta get him. I mean, he's our rightful president now, but we have to get him back into office again. And obviously, you know, the fear with a lot of people is, you know, should I vote because the voting machines and the last thing we need as a country is a national voter law, because that's obviously what the Democrats want, and we have to leave it up to the states. But I think that, you know, we as a federal government can hold back. I mean, look, money talks. And if you hold back money from states that have egregious voting laws, I mean, you know, I think you'll see a change in what's going on, but people are too afraid to do that. And, you know, we need to get back to one-day voting, paper ballots. We got to get rid of these machines. Everybody has to have a voter, you know, has a driver's license to vote. It's such an easy concept, but, you know, when the left wants you to vote for weeks and weeks on end, I mean, it just gives them time to manipulate this election.
Yeah.
Do you have any websites you want to share with us?
Yeah, so my Twitter handle or X handle is @RealTrentLeisy, LEISY. And then my website is TrentLeisy.com. And this is my whole campaign is grassroots effort. We've got volunteers throughout the whole district who want to volunteer and help and walk door to door and, you know, get people to, you know, caucus and assembly that, you know, that'll support me and obviously support me through the primary process. And, you know, so of course I can't do this without donations. So I got to put a little plug in to go into my website and donating. You can either donate through WinRed or DonorBox, but
throw it out there, brother.
Yeah, so just go to my website, TrentLeister.com, and click on the donate link, and you can either donate through WinRed or through DonorBox. But take any and all money will help, whether it's $5 or $50. Every dollar is going towards, you know, defeating the rhino establishment here in Colorado. And obviously, you know, putting an America First and Trump, you know, Trump-backing person there in Congress that will support him and support his policies. Because that is, you know, he's going to save this country again. And we need him back in the White House.
Most definitely. But I'm of the mind to believe while we're doing that, we need to get young conservatives like yourself in all 50 states so we can get rid of these Soros-funded rhinos and Democrats like Alvin Bragg and Letitia James and people like that as well.
Yeah, the gal down in Georgia. Oh, my gosh,
yeah.
She's horrible. You know what's interesting? I was on a podcast before this earlier today, and one thing that we were talking about was the Gen Zers and how – you know, I think really the establishment doesn't embrace them because they don't embrace them because I believe most of the Gen Zers or a good portion of the Gen Zers are Trump MAGA America First people because they saw what Trump did and they saw now they've seen what Biden's done. And I really think that they're gravitating towards Trump. And I don't think the rhino establishment want them a part of the process. They don't want to acknowledge them as being a part of the process because, you know, they've now seen two different presidents in their lifetime or been old enough to see two different presidents and how there's a stark difference between the two. And, I mean, I go to events all the time where there's a lot of good young conservatives, true conservatives that love this country. They love Trump. They love the America First movement, and we need to begin to embrace them as being part of the party.
My daughter actually happens to be one of those.
Yep, I got two daughters.
Yeah,
my daughter actually happens to be one of those.
Well, it's funny because the establishment they'll attack me because, oh well, you've got, you know, young people running your campaign. And you know, it's like, yeah, my social media guy's 19 years old. He loves this country. He's met Trump multiple times. He writes articles for Dinesh D'Souza's media outlet. Trump shares them all the time. Trump's called him personally. And here's a kid that loves this country, and he is phenomenal at what he does. Why wouldn't anybody embrace that? If you want to win, embrace that. And so, you know, I've got, you know, 21, 22, 25-year-old people that are like, hey, you know, I want to be a part of this movement, you know. And, of course, I'm going to embrace them into this movement because they are, look, they love this country. And the left doesn't want them to be, or I'm sorry, the rhino establishment don't want them to be a part of the process because they know they're going to dismantle the swamp, disrupt their you know ability to have a cushy job in Congress and make a lot of money and hurt the American people.
What amazes me is I understand Congress holds checks and balances; they control the money. How in the hell did they get their paychecks so high?
They keep giving themselves raises.
I mean, well, that's the thing. If you look back in history, like, that used to just be a per diem job. Like, you went there, you did your thing, and then you went back home to be a doctor, to be a lawyer, to be a farmer, to be a pharmacist, or whatever it is you were. And then you went back there. You were a true representative. But when we started giving these people salaries, that destroyed our, that in my opinion, destroyed this process of a republic, because our politicians should not be paid a very hefty salary for doing something that they claim they're going to do, which is represent the people. And, you know, they're just there. That's what frustrates me about this congressional seat, is I entered this race before anybody else did. Ken Buck was still running for this position as an incumbent. And since he's dropped out, it's been advertised as, oh, it's such a safe conservative district. You know, this is a career seat for somebody. And, of course, now you have all these rhino yahoos jumping in the race who don't love this country, who don't want to, you know, they don't want to talk about election integrity. They don't want to talk about COVID and the vaccine. And, you know, they don't want to talk about Trump. They want to try to keep as much distance away from that. And, you know, they don't want to talk about, you know, solving the real problems that we're facing. And they, you know, support Ukraine. And they're not America First people that are jumping into this race. And it's all because they want a career seat. You know, me, I don't want to be here for 20 years. I just want to go there, help, make a difference, and then turn it over to somebody else. That's all I want to do. And I'm not looking to make a lot of, you know, I don't want to be one of those ones who walks out. Look at AOC. She had to borrow money to go to Congress, and now she has millions of dollars. How did that happen? You know, that's ridiculous. No politician should be allowed to do that.
Well, she's a fashionista. Right. Didn't you know that?
Yeah.
Didn't you see that dress she was wearing at the Met?
Well, yeah.
To your point, Trent, yeah, they're going after it for the cozy lifelong position, but then they're also being funded, unlike you, they're being funded by lobbyists and big PACs and people who then, you know, influence how they're going to vote afterwards because they feel they're beholden to them. And it's, you know, it's just not right. It's not how, you know, our founders envisioned it. Or
no.
Not live it out themselves.
Correct. And that's not how it was envisioned to be. As something that it's supposed to be somebody's career. You know, I think that if our founders, you know, look, you know, if they're watching now, it's probably the one thing they probably should have put into the Constitution, that there's term limits. You know, and there should be term limits on these people, because they shouldn't be holding these offices for 20, 30 years. I mean, they're dying in Congress. They're dying as senators. It's like, come on, you're sitting
right
there. You need to be gone. You're not. It's no different than the installed president that we have in the White House today. I mean,
right,
these people shouldn't be you know, they shouldn't be there for 20, 30, 40 years. They just shouldn't be.
Yeah, I don't want to see AOC there when she's Nancy Pelosi's age, right? And listen to her nonsense for that long.
Oh, God, no.
Which is crazy. I mean,
well,
it'll be funny,
yeah,
memes.
I mean, she probably...
Well, how long did Dianne Feinstein serve?
Oh, shoot, 40 years at least.
At least?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, no. In most normal companies, you retire after 20 years.
But you'll still be voting Democrat next year.
Well, I said retire, not die.
Yep. Yeah. That's true.
So
that's true.
Trent,
Trent, have you heard of Votify Now?
Yes. In fact, I talked. Yes. I'm trying to think of what the name of the owner is of that.
John is his name.
John.
His ex handle is just that, Votify Now. And I've talked to him on a number of spaces, and I plug him every time I talk to anybody who's running for office because of the work that he's been doing.
Yeah, and so I started talking to him, 2 years ago maybe, when he first started to come out with that. I know that he's gaining a lot of momentum. I think that he is, I've seen a lot more here just lately, more presence of him out there. And he's gaining a lot of momentum, and what he is doing is helping, expose the corruption and the fact that, you're able to document it immediately, any sort of voter fraud that you see. So, yeah, he is. He's a good guy.
The immediate benefit is, for the voters themselves, right? So if you're going out to vote, he's got a national map that you can zone into where you're at, and he's color-coded the incidents that have been reported. So if you see, just huge lines at a certain voting station, or, hear that the machines aren't working, or there's a flood in the basement or whatever, you can redirect yourself to someplace else. And then the backside of that is all that data is compiled and provided to the candidates in case they have any, litigation that they need to go through. They have this all documented with pictures, with videos, And he also provides information on the candidates themselves so you can get informed. And so it's a great app. And he doesn't take any donations. He's funded it himself, and he's there is another app out there that's trying to build off of his success, and it's like Votey Now, and people get confused. And if you click on the app and somebody's asking for a donation or personal information, that's not the right app.
I just looked back, and the first time him and I talked was August 6th of 22. And I was actually in Dallas at CPAC during that time. And we've talked off and on since then. So,
yeah, he actually, the app's been around since the Kerry Lake election, and he actually provided a lot of information to them. They just didn't have good lawyers or judges or anybody that could use it. But so he's really fine-tuned it, and I think it's going to help us out in 2024.
Good.
Yeah. No, he's a good guy. So what he's done,
we need all the help we can get.
It is. We do. Absolutely. We do. So.
Another young man that I've been plugging, and almost everybody knows him, Scott Presler, and he's doing, so he's doing the upfront work, right, getting people engaged and involved, encouraging people to vote early. As Republicans, we just aren't, wired that way. We don't want to do that. We think that it's not as safe. And he actually goes through how it's actually safer, right, because when you vote early, it's an entirely different process that gets fed, and there's a chain of custody, by the right party to make sure those votes are counted and not reversed or flipped or anything else. But he has an app where people, it's easy, you can sit at home and do manned call stations to help get people out to vote. There's no excuse if you use that app to do something to get involved.
Yeah, you know, Scott's a, and to his credit, I mean, he does all, he's self-funded. I mean, he does a lot of stuff, you know, through donations or his own money. And that's a man who is, you know, very, I've seen him speak, and he's a phenomenal speaker. And, you know, his call of action is just, you know, getting young people to the ballot box and vote.
Yep.
So,
he's a spitting image of my son Danny. They're like same age, same hairstyle. I mean, the first time I saw him, I'm like, oh my God, my son got involved in politics. But deeper, it's like, oh no, this guy. So I've adopted him. I've adopted him as my second son.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
we are talking about Scott Pressler, right, Bill?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Did you say he had your hairdo?
My son's hairdo.
Oh.
You know that skips a generation, right?
Yeah,
I got it from my. I was getting worried about your eyesight.
Yeah. No. My grandfather on my mother's side was bald. My dad's father, you know, to the day he died at 78. Jet black hair, never dyed it, and my father, who died at 77, same thing. Jet black hair, never dyed it, but full head of hair, not me.
It was just my dad's sideburns that were gray.
And I embrace
kind of like a Doctor Strange type deal. But he had that the name of that hairdo they had back in the 50s. That the guys used to wear, where combed it back with the comb.
Mm-hmm.
That was his hairdo. He had the Fonzie type hairdo.
Oh, okay.
It was. You remember what Beretta looked like?
The TV
show Beretta.
Yep.
That's what my dad looked like. He looked like Robert Blake back in the day.
Hmm.
But don't piss him off. He's the one that he taught me the respect for the people that serve our country. Like this gentleman here. Like Trent.
Yep. My father was in the military.
My dad was just crazy enough to jump out of a perfectly good airplane.
You know, what's interesting about the military, and I think we touched on that a little earlier with the illegals, you know, entering the, I guess they want the illegals in the military. But it's like, you know, we're, you know, the left's even trying to destroy the military, right? I mean, by this whole transgender garbage that goes on, you know, I have friends who are, you know, have kids in the military. I call them kids because they're still, in my opinion, kids or young adults. But, you know, just how they're, you know, all this diversity stuff that goes on in the military. You know, it's like, again, it's like here's an institution that they're trying to destroy who, you know, that I served in, that, you know, you have relatives who have served in. And it's like, why can't we just have one institution that's off limits from all this stuff?
Yeah. And they wonder why the recruiting numbers are down, right?
Well,
yeah,
who wants to be a part of that?
Why,
exactly.
Here's my question. Instead of teaching them how to become, how to teach a girl to become a boy or a boy to become a girl in our military, why don't they teach these young men and women how to come home after they send them to kill somebody?
That, you know what, you hit on something that I've talked about before, which is, you know, look, when I got out of the military, you know, it was one of those things where they wanted you to, you know, they told you that the VA system is, you know, a welfare system. You know, they don't. There's not the mental health aspect in the VA that should be. Maybe it's better today than it was. I mean, you know, I've been victim of PTSD from my time in the military, and I tell you, I mean, it's you know, the help wasn't there when I needed it. It is, you know, I've struggled and I've gotten the help that I need to get. And, you know, I still struggle, but it's like, you know, look, our, you know, we have veterans on the streets while we're housing illegals in nice hotels.
Yeah.
You know, we make sure they have the money. And yet, you know, our veterans, we don't take care of like we should. And, you know, these are people, you know, look, if anybody should get free stuff the rest of their life, it should be the veterans because they...
100%.
You know, they sacrificed their life for this country. And, you know, we don't come back the same. We'll never come back the same. And when people ask me about, you know, what's it like if I join the military, I'm brutally honest with them, you know. And I tell them, look, when you get off that plane and you get into boot camp, your life as you know it's over with. They're going to tear you down and rebuild you in a very short period of time. And it's a brotherhood. And you know, when I'm with other veterans, we know, you know, what we can talk about and what we can't talk about because we know what everybody is feeling and going through, and we respect that, and it's not embarrassing. And, you know, if anybody should get anything free for the rest of their life, it should be those people. Because there
shouldn't be a one of them living on the streets right now.
Yeah, I mean, the suicide rate is astronomical. I mean, you have hundreds dying every day from suicide. I don't know what the statistic is. I know it was higher than it should be at one point. And, you know, it's like we're not taking care of our veterans. We ask them to protect us, but then we turn around and we don't protect them when they need our help. And
absolutely.
So as far as the VA is concerned,
my father, I watched him go from the Obama years into Trump, right, and saw, you know, what was available to him and given to him dramatically change, you know, under Trump. And I'm on these spaces with veterans now, and they're saying, you know, Biden is just kind of taking that all back, and it's becoming impossible to get the medication you need. They put in all this bureaucracy to, you know, it's almost like to prevent you from getting what you need. And it's a shame.
It is.
They say the suicide, but the veteran suicide rate is statistically at 22 a day. Personally, I think it's more.
I think it's more than that too. Yeah. Yeah. You know, and it's like you look at like all.
There shouldn't have to be one.
Well, I mean, look at all the veterans that are in jail. Look at all the veterans who, you know, have broken families because we did not do our job.
A lot of those veterans that are in jail are the ones that are dealing with those mental health issues. They don't need to be in jail. They need to be in a hospital.
Yes. Yes. Yep. Yeah. You know, and we need, yeah, they do. And
but
so,
on the same coin, there's regular citizens out there, too, that are in jail that have serious mental health issues that should not be there. They should be receiving the proper care in a hospital, not a prison.
Well, and I think, yeah, and that goes to, you know, drug usage. That goes to how they grew up. That goes to... You know, I think vaccines play a role in all that.
For sure.
So, you know, it's like, and then you get the ideology thing where, look, how many mass shootings have we had that, who's the perpetrator of these mass shootings? Trans people are. They're confused. They don't know, they, you know, they're mentally messed up because we've shoved all of this ideology down people's throat every day. And,
well,
you know,
it's not just trans people. It's just people that have serious mental issues that these doctors are not willing to treat. They just want to give some type of medication or pill to. And that just exacerbates the problem and makes it worse.
There is a high percentage of these mass shooters that are trans.
what happens to
that
bill.
Yes, you look at the Colorado Springs shooter, there was a mass shooting in Denver, the Aberdeen shooting, the Nashville shooter, they were all trans.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that they're just, it's just a, it's, I mean, kids are, oh my gosh, kids are being, you know, confused every day on. It's again, it just proves that we as a society can't come to an agreement that kids are off limits, but mental health plays a serious role. And then the last thing you need is, you know, these, you know, like state of Colorado, they're trying to pass a mental health thing in schools right now. But what is this bill designed to do? It's designed to confuse people because the government now wants to say, you know, we're going to tell you what you need to be. Because your parents don't know, we know more about you than your parents do.
That's the key.
Yeah.
Destroy that connection between the parents and children.
Yes. Yep.
That's
yep.
That's their whole agenda to me. Take over the children's mind and they take over the future. They're not worried about us. They're just trying to get us out of the way with the vaccines and the virus.
You're pushing the fathers out of the homes. Right. My daughter had a friend who was a neighbor who was transitioning from a he to a she, chemically and other ways.
Wow.
And multiple times the police had to be called. He was up on the roof creating havoc. And then after they moved out of there, he stalked her, my daughter, and her husband, you know, online, changing phone numbers, changing, you know, social media profiles, but just stalked them and harassed them, you know, for a couple of years afterwards. My daughter had to change her number multiple times.
Wow.
Crazy.
That's crazy.
It definitely is a mental
illness. Again, back to mental
illness.
Again, back to the mental illness. That's the key problem in this country is mental illness.
It is. Absolutely is. So.
And now somebody had the bright idea to unlock the asylum door and let the inmates run the asylum.
Yeah, that's...
I.e. The Biden administration.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. They are the inmates, or they should be.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have a feeling come 2024 they will be.
I do too.
Because once we get gentlemen like you, Trent, in office, and we get our boss in office, retribution begins.
It does. It does. I'm looking forward to it because we got a lot of problems to fix in this country. And
see, that's what kills me. These people have been embedding themselves in our government for over 50 years like an Alabama tick. We can't expect to get them out lickety-split just like that.
Yeah. Well, what Trump recognizes and understands that this movement's more than just about him. And it's, you know... The key is, you know, making sure that he picks the right VP that can continue his legacy after 4 years, and we're not back into another stolen election where you have some liberal that's destroying this country again.
Who are your projections for VP?
I like Kristi Noem,
my man.
What's that?
Yes, I agree 100%.
I like Kristi Noem. I think she would be, out of all of them, I think she would be the best. Mm-hmm. Carrie Lake would be great too, but I think Kristi Noem is if she's not a contender, I mean I'm sure she is. I mean,
well,
Carrie
was saying is she's got Senate aspirations.
Yeah, so she's running for Senate right now, which Arizona needs her. I mean, they need her in office. I mean, technically she's the rightful governor. Another stolen
yeah,
election.
Yeah, should not be in that seat.
Nope. And so, and now there's enough evidence coming to light that there was fraud in Arizona. So,
yeah, I've seen that on your Instagram.
Yeah. So, but I really like Kristi Noem. I think she could take the helm and go with it after him. And I think she's proven to be, you know, very solid in supporting him and supporting the Trump policies. And I've never seen her come out and say anything bad about him or not support. I mean, she did go to fight against the NCAA with the whole trans garbage that was going on. And so she's a fighter just like Trump. And I think, boy, I think she would be a phenomenal governor.
I have to say, there is a veteran gentleman that lives here, used to live here in the town that I live in, that I used to take up to South Dakota once a month so he could get all his blood work done because that's where the VA hospital was. That VA hospital up there is phenomenal.
Wow, that's good.
That is one of the best that I have seen. And I've been to a few around the country because of my dad and a few family members and friends. But, man, the care and the level of care that is given at that place is unparalleled.
Hey, guys, I want to give you some live feedback on X. People who are listening in are commenting on the ad.
Sure.
Encourage you to call in and actually ask the question. It'd be great to hear your voice. But Kobe_3408 says, yes, here in Rhode Island as well, we're getting overrun by illegals. They are everywhere, and Mass just passed a law to give them IDs so they can vote. Once Mass does stuff like this, Rhode Island is soon to follow, and we can't take it anymore. And he also gave a plug for Scott Presler. I love the live feedback.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, look, I mean, California's trying to do that if they not already have, and you know, it's because they want these people to vote because they know that that's the only way for them to remain in power. And you know, like I said at the beginning, I mean, the last thing we need is the national voter law because that just would destroy our voting system. But I think that, you know, we, you know, as you know, congressmen, congresswomen, representatives, you know, I think, you know, being the power of the purse is powerful, and withholding federal funds from states that have egregious and ridiculous, you know, voting laws is one of the mechanisms in place to help, you know, help with getting states back on track with doing a free and fair election.
Well, that's one thing I've always said from the beginning. If you want to hurt these people, you cannot appeal to their feelings. You have to hit them in the wallet.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If you hurt their money, you hurt them.
Yep. Absolutely. The power of the purse is huge.
That's why I'm glad we got Speaker Johnson controlling Congress's purse right now.
I do too. I mean, you know, with the whole, you know, cutting into the so-called funding for the 87,000 IRS agents. So, I mean, our spending is out of control.
He actually did what he is doing, what McCarthy promised he was going to do and didn't deliver on. He released the January 6th footage.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's holding off the funding on Ukraine.
Well, and what's funny is, like, everybody's given, oh, well, he hasn't disclosed all of it. Well, I mean, he's done a hell of a lot more than other people have done. And,
by far,
what he has shown us is that this was a complete setup. You know, just like that Derek Chauvin guy, whatever, that was prosecuted for Floyd murder.
Yeah.
Chauvin, yeah. I mean, they're trying to kill him. Why? Because now there's evidence that come out that says that, you know, he was, you know, that this, you know, he would have died.
The amount
anyway.
Of fentanyl, I believe they said that he had in his system would have killed 3 men.
Yeah.
And there was
yeah.
the coroner report also said that there was no evidence found on his neck that would have caused his death.
Yes. And see, they know that, and they know, like, look, I think Trump should pardon him. You know, when he gets back in, get him out of jail, pardon him, and restore his life. That's another thing that, you know, I want to work with. If he makes it, yeah, yeah. I mean, really, we still don't even know truly what kind of condition he's in. And so, you know, they've been really quiet about that. This is another one of those, you know, Epstein didn't hang himself thing, right? So
be careful, get Hillary.
I know. And it's like, you know, as soon as this started to come to, it's not any coincidence that as soon as all these reporting started to come out about George Floyd and the amount of drugs that were in his system and that it wasn't his, you know, the pressure on his neck that ultimately killed him. What do? Some guy stabs him 20 plus times or whatever it was. And now we don't even really know what his condition is and how he's doing. And they're trying to kill him.
And it's not just some guy, right? So this guy supposedly was in a cartel mafia, right? And that's how he got in jail. But it now found out that he was an FBI informant.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
FBI,
a big surprise.
And he's a white European. I can't remember where they said he was from. I can't remember which country, right? And so the question is, how did a white European become part of the, you know, Mexican cartel, right, and be a FBI informant? And he changed his story, you know, a couple times after the stabbing.
Against him already. He's a white European. He's in prison from the drug cartels, and he just stabbed an innocent man.
Yeah.
Yep.
What the hell?
Yeah, but he'll go scot-free. You know, he'll be fine.
They'll give him a job. What are you talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was the other thing, right? So he's supposedly a Mexican cartel. He's white. The reason he did it on Black Friday was in solidarity with Black Lives Matter. So he's also for Black Lives Matter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This stuff.
You can't make this up. I'm actually at a loss for words about that one. Wow.
Yeah. Well, the other thing that I want to make sure that people, you know, are aware of is, you know, like I'm an anti-vaxxer. Okay. I think that, you know, vaccines have, you know, caused a lot of problems with adults and children. This COVID vaccine is manufactured to kill us, to reduce the population. And the one thing that I want to make sure is that every one of these service members, law enforcement, doctors, nurses, that they all get their life back, because, you know, they were either fired or they were terminated, you know, whatever. You had service members that were either prosecuted or dishonorably discharged for not taking the COVID vaccine. And I want to make sure that's rectified. And I think that's something that, you know, we as representatives can push back and, you know, pass legislation to make sure that, you know, this doesn't happen again to these people. 'Cause I mean, it ruined a lot of people's lives for just standing up and saying, I don't want to take this vaccine. So
I was one of them.
Yeah.
Me too.
I just turned 53 years old on Thanksgiving Day. When all this stuff started coming out, they wanted everybody to do the vaccinations and all of that. I can't wear a mask because I can't have anything over my face. I have COPD. I have Crohn's disease. I also have seizures. I got COVID-19. I took vitamin D3 drank plenty of fluids, just like I would when I had the flu, and got some rest, and I got over it in 4 days.
Shot. Study early in the COVID situation, and it was a global scientific study about the effects of vitamin D3 on preventing COVID, and then if you get COVID, you know, the impact of it. Mm-hmm. And you know, from that day on, I'm still doing it. I take a high dosage of D3 with K2, which helps activate it. And I never got COVID, and I never got a shot, and I've got natural immunity. You know, what did they do? You know, they locked you down, put you in a house, right? Kept everybody inside, shut down the state parks, right? So, even following their guidance, you know, 6 feet, distance, and you know, even if you want to wear a mask outside, they shut down the state parks, right? So what does that deprive you of? Sunlight. Sunlight gives you vitamin D. And being locked down depresses you, which weakens your immune system, right? It was a recipe for death. So I was on with Dr. Shiva on a space today. Dr. Shiva, I'm going to butcher his last name, Ayadurai, and he had a whole, you know, he went through his view of the shocks and everything, and yes, from a scientific perspective, he's a PhD from MIT, and he's actually reached out to get on our show, so I'm in discussions with them now for that, but a lot of truth now getting out that was censored and pushed down during the pandemic.
Yeah.
It's a shame.
Well, we can thank Elon Musk today for the fact that, you know, he bought Twitter and really created a platform and brought back people on who had been censored because, you know, just because they had a different formulation to get through COVID. I mean, look how much, you know, I mean, anytime you were use the word hydroxychloroquine, you were banned immediately. You know, if you had a different view of the COVID situation, boom, you were banned immediately. If you didn't tote, like, that is censorship at its highest.
Absolutely.
You know, that is government control at the highest. And, you know, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, and the reason was, right, they were, Fauci and team were working on getting this vaccine because, you know, he made millions off of these vaccines. He's unwilling to disclose how much he's made. But, you know, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, you know, these things that were proven to do good, they shut down. You know, all of a sudden, natural immunity wasn't a thing anymore. Nobody wanted to talk about it, right? But it was to get enough time to get these vaccines out, to put money in the pharmaceutical pocket so they could put money in their pocket. And
yep.
It's blatantly obvious now that that's what went on.
Well, look, Rand Paul exposed Fauci, exposed the fact that we paid for this virus. We funded this biological weapon that was designed for population control, and which the NIH should be disbanded immediately for the destruction that they've caused. Look, they
Absolutely.
Came in here to Fort Collins, to CSU, Carter State University, and they are funding a bat lab, same thing as it was in Wuhan. Now it's in my backyard. I'm not happy about it, and I want it shut down because – Go ahead.
I was just going to say, they had one in North Carolina, you know, pre-COVID, right? They were funding them all over the world. I think there was one in Germany and one in Ukraine pre-COVID.
Yep.
As it stands right now, because of this pandemic, there should be no Chinese-funded labs allowed in the United States sovereign borders at all.
There should be no research done, especially funded by government, to have gain of function in any type of virus. It's just insane.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. You know, that goes into, you know, it's interesting because, you know, China owns a lot of land in the United States. And, you know, Sarah Sanders has taken the lead on, you know, passing and signing into, you know, legislation that, you know, confiscates the land that China owns in her state. And I'd love to see that on a national scale because we should never allow foreign entities to come in here and own land. And we need to take all the land that Bill Gates owns, because he's another large landholder. And, you know, I don't know what he does with it all, but I think it's, you know,
I think we have an idea.
Yeah.
He's shutting down farming.
Uh-huh.
Lab-based meat.
Yeah, he's behind John Kerry with that.
Yes. Well, yeah, because God forbid we have too many cows that feed people. So that's such a huge climate change issue.
Eat bugs and be happy.
And he can go eat his own bugs.
Yep.
Steak.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm a meat eater, man. You take away my steak, you take away my hamburger, we're going to have a serious problem. And I ain't talking about
no
soy burger.
No, I'm trying
to take away those. You try to take away those things, and then you're going to meet my 2A.
You ever seen what happens when you try to take away a wolf's meal? Exactly.
Nobody has, because they didn't survive it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But
there's a court case going between up to the Supreme Court to change the tax laws around unrealized gains on property and assets, right? And what they're proposing is that you're taxed every year on any unrealized gains on property. And what that's going to do is, you know, people are going to be forced to sell their property to pay their taxes, right? If you're going to follow that and pay your taxes after they do that. So, you know, hoping and praying.
Okay. Now, Bill, I have a question.
Sure.
If they're trying to bust Trump in New York for overinflating his property prices, how the hell can they not see what unrealized gains are?
Right. Well, they're going to have a handle on it. It's a land grab, right? It's all in their philosophy and strategy that you will own nothing and you'll be happy. The government will grab your property, right, and people will, you know, be bankrupt.
Well, they started that back with the Obama administration with the Sinichums out there with taking all the ranch land with Lavoie and the rest of the clan that are actually now running, I believe, for Congress and Senate as well. They tried to do the eminent domain.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're still doing that.
Like you said, they introduced him to the Second Amendment.
Mm.
And unfortunately, somebody lost their lives. And again, due and at the hands of the FBI. Another unarmed citizen.
Yeah, and this all stems back to Trump's... I mean, this came out of Trump's... this goes back to Trump's tax cuts are under attack. And
anything he does is under attack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so I believe, I'm not quite familiar with this case, but I believe this has to do with his 2017 tax cut that he did for the American people. So
it's time for the American people to stop paying the consequences for what these liberal Democrats want to do to us to fill their own pockets.
Hey, I just say everybody stop paying taxes.
I was going to say that. I'm with you there.
I hear that. I must hear that at least 10 times a day. If everyone in this country would just stop, that stops their salaries, that stops their money laundering, that stops everything.
If everybody did it, even their 84,000 IRS agents couldn't deal with it, you know?
Oh, man. Yeah, where are you going to get the money to pay them?
Look, the IRS is the enemy of the people. We can have a simplified tax structure that the Department of Treasury can handle.
I'm trying to remember who it was that had the idea of a flat tax rate of 10%.
So Herman Cain had the 999 plan back when he ran.
I would be open to it.
I would be too. Like, look, what people don't understand is that that's paying your fair share. I mean, everybody's taxed at the same rate. That's paying your fair share.
For me, that flat tax rate is it's like a guarantee for us, just like our Second Amendment. They can't charge us no more than that flat tax rate. So there's only it will also limit their powers as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And it would definitely rein in the spending. Oh, my gosh, it would rein in.
Man, like Chuck Schumer?
Yeah. Because, look, how many times is, you know, like me as a small business owner, I'm just like, oh, God. You know, when a new administration comes in, it's like, okay, now what are they going to do to screw up my taxes, you know? And it shouldn't be that way.
No.
So, yeah, I mean, and I describe it to people all the time. Like, look, a flat tax is somebody paying their fair share, because if you make $50,000 and the tax rate, let's say 9 or 10%, okay, well, but you're paying your, you know, that's what you can afford. You know, if you go into the grocery store and you buy milk, you're going to be taxed at 10% or 9%, whatever that flat tax is. Versus if you're a multimillionaire and you want to go and buy, you know, this expensive car or house, whatever it is, you're going to be paying the same rate. See, to me, the rate is what's fair share.
Yeah, with no loopholes and all these crazy things where you got millionaires and corporations paying zero taxes when, you know, we're paying, you know, huge taxes. Everybody, if they really wanted something that was fair, that's what we should do. Everybody pays the same rate.
Yeah.
Well, gentlemen, we are down to our 1 minute and 33 second mark. And I would like to thank everybody for joining us tonight. I would like to thank our guest, Trent Lisey, for joining us tonight. You want to throw out your website one more time, young man?
Yeah, my website is TrentLisey.com. That's L-E-I-S-Y. And this is a grassroots campaign, so any donation would help to the campaign, as we're not taking big donor money. So appreciate any help that we can get. And you can follow me on Twitter at RealTrentLisey.
Fantastic. And I also like to thank my co-host, Bill the Fitzer Elmore.
It's always great. This was a great discussion. You know, it actually flew right past, which is how you know it's a good discussion.
Oh, most definitely.
Yes.
Well,
yeah, and I
and
appreciate the opportunity. So,
y'all have a good night. And remember, America matters. God bless.
God bless.